Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
I'm not really sure. This has been on my heart for what I'm about to say this morning for a little bit, but it's been kind of stirring inside, and it seems like one weekend I haven't got time, I just want to share. I don't know if you'd even call it a sermon or not, but I'm going to try to make it sound like a sermon this morning. But you know, the title of it is Identity Crisis, and I think it's something that we are familiar with. And you know, we're living in a time of identity crisis, and it seems like to be across the board in many different areas. Men identifying as women, and women identifying as men. Kids now are identifying themselves as animals, cats and different things. Just ridiculous when you really get right down to it. And you think, well, we just threw common sense out the door. You know, we have a free nation trying to identify itself as a socialism or social nation. I mean, we're trying real hard for that. The identity of marriage is in this culture has been perverted in such a way that God has just got to not even look down on us the way we've perverted marriage and what marriage stands for. The family unit itself has been perverted. What they call in the new word, when it doesn't really line up with what the scripture says, this is the new normal for the family. And a lot of that has been identity crisis that we see in the world that we grew up in, and the things that we knew as to be normal are no longer normal. And matter of fact, many of them are not even accepted the way we think. Some people identify themselves different according to their daily need. And we see all of this, and I know it just sounds ridiculous, especially maybe more for us that are living here in Texas than other places. So you can truly say our nation has an identity crisis going on in many different areas across it. And you know, the church is quick to jump on those that are confused about their identity. And listen, I believe absolutely the truth needs to be shared. Some things you just can't deny. A fact that a man is born a man and a woman a woman. I believe in that. I really do. But sometimes I believe that we're fast to jump on this and not consider ourselves. Did you know in Matthew, Jesus makes a statement, and he talks about getting the plank out of our own eye in order to remove the speck out of someone else's eye. You find that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. He's basically calling them hypocrites because while they're judging others in areas, they also need to be judged. Listen, the church, especially in America, is having an identity crisis. Let me say that again. The church, especially in America, is having an identity crisis. And we're fast to point at this world, and we're fast to point at others. But I was taught a long time ago by my dearly departed pastor, Greaser, says if you got one finger going that way, you got four more or three more coming right back at you. And I think about the church today. Many of what some would call successful churches look like you walk right into a nightclub. The promotion of many churches today is the so-called worship service and nothing else. Some churches look like little shopping malls when you enter into their foyer, and maybe even the gym that they have or every little amenity that you need for your family. Many churches today are built on a business model, not a God model. This is where we're at with the church today, the identity. God never told us to blend in, but he told us to be separate. We use the word holiness, which is separated and to be different than others. And somewhere along the line, we have adapted. We're not the church, but we're the world. But we're going to heaven. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against big churches or even small churches that are doing things right according to the Bible. That's not my message this morning, and I'm not here to beat up on big churches or bash them or anything like that, but I'm here today with my simple thought that God has been putting in my heart for San Jacinto Assembly of God, that not only ours, but other churches are in an identity crisis, and I believe it's time that we learn our identity and we stand up in the identity that God has made and wants us to be, that we can be the church that God wants us to be. I believe it's that moment that we have to have these correction lines in our lives, and the church needs one every now and then. If you ever drive out in the rural community around the where they got the big fields, sections at a time, every now and then you have to come up to a 90-degree turn, and that is a correction line because they're going around a different section of land. And sometimes the church needs to take a 90-degree turn back to where God wanted them to be, back to being the church that God wants them to be, back to being who God has designed it to be. And sometimes we need that in our lives. And we need that correction moment because all of us, even in our individual walks, are not unable to stray a little bit. And I believe today the church, if we're going to be, we say words like we're here appointed for a season such as this. We'll quote what Esther was told to her. But my friend, if we're going to be that one that's appointed for this time, we must be the one that God wants us to be. Because it is that church that will make a difference. It's that church that will make an impact. It's that church that will change who we are. But we have an identity crisis in the majority of both big and small churches. Identity is the distinct set of characteristics, beliefs, personality traits, social roles that define an individual or a group, distinguishing them from others. Is what identity is. We all know that. We have to go get our driver's license, and we have to give everybody everything that we have that will identify us, except for bringing our mother in with us. And all they want, all that information, is so that they can say that that's you. It's the same thing today. Listen to what Psalms 12, or 127, verse 1 says. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. The house, God's church. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Matthew 16:18 says this, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus says, who do men say I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And he says, upon this truth, not upon Peter, but on this truth of who the Son of God is, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. How many of you think the gates of hell are trying to prevail today as we live? The gates of hell are trying to take our kids. The gates of hell have moved into the church body that we call the church. The gates of hell are trying to prevail throughout our country. Just listen to the news and listen to the perversion that we see. I'm going to tell you there's something wrong with the church if the gates of hell are prevailing against it. Because Jesus said, my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If this says that there's some kind of power in God's church that the devil can't take down. Amen? Some kind of power in God's true church something that's there, that of their identity. And let me tell you something, the devil knows the identity of the true church. There's an identity that is with us. And I believe we need to get back to that identity. That rock of who Jesus Christ is, that foundation. It is His church, not my church. Let me say that again, because some of the pastors have got that messed up. It is His church, not my church. And some of the people have got it messed up. It's His church, not your church. It belongs to Him. It is His body, not my body. That's what the Word of God proclaims. And I'm going to tell you something else about His church. It's a devil-whipping church. Come on. How many like to whip the devil? Amen. I'm getting too old to fight, but at least I can whip the devil through Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's the church of Jesus Christ. It's power, power, power in the name of Jesus. We sang about it this morning. We need to speak it more because the name of Jesus makes a difference. It's that type of church that we have today. Listen, in the real estate business, builders will have what they call a show house or a display house that you can go and look at and kind of get an idea of what they do as far as building a house. It's one of those model homes. In the New Testament, Jesus gives us a display church. He gives us a model church of what the church is to look like and what the church is to be. It also holds, and sometimes we call it the Church of Acts, or we call it the church that we read about in the book of Acts, but it's a display church. It's a model church. I love the Word of God because it tells us a lot more about how we to look, how we to act, and how we are to go about spreading the gospel. And I'm going to tell you today, we sometimes don't get back to the book of Acts and start to look at what Jesus said my church will look like. The Word of God displays that very clearly. There's this model church that we call the Acts Church. This model has not changed in all these years. I don't care what men and women may say. I don't care what new revelation they may have for the church. The model has not changed. And that's where we're getting off. I believe that's where the power is no longer there. It's because we've got away from the model that Jesus has showed us in the book of Acts. It's that church that we are to have. It holds the identity markers of the church. What makes us a church? What makes us a Pentecostal church? Those are identity markers that we find in the book of Acts when we read about the church. How many know that church did some amazing things? That church, and we'll talk about it here in just a few moments. So what are some of the identity markers of this display church that we find in the book of Acts? Now listen, I started just putting this down and I thought, wow, that's a lot of preaching. And when I think that, if we want to be the church that God wants us to be, I believe we should look at some of the identity markers of that church. And I preach, I know there's many have preached this, but I want to remind us this morning. The first thing is Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus saves is the evangelistic message for the church. Now that's all my, just on the first part of my points right there. Jesus is the cornerstone. Identity markers of the church that Jesus had for the display. The Bible displays this model. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. They taught His doctrines, and they understood it was His body, His church. It didn't belong to man. It didn't belong to woman. It didn't belong to a denomination. It doesn't belong to a country. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It is an identity marker of His church, is that He is the cornerstone. He's preached about, He's taught about, He's welcome in the church, and He's worshiped and He's celebrated in the church. He was and is the identity marker of the church today. We need to give Jesus honor in the midst of us right now. Hallelujah. Because He's the King and He's the Lord. He's the marker. In Acts 4:27, you'll find that the church was being persecuted. And they were told not to preach that name anymore. And you'll find the statement they made in Acts 4:27. They went to start to pray to God the Father, and listen what they said. They didn't say, hey, it's against the Assembly of God these men have spoke. They didn't say it's against the Baptists or the Methodists or the Church of Christ. But they said it's against your holy servant, Jesus Christ, that they have spoke these words. What are they saying? They are claiming this thing that we call church belongs to Him, and He is the center of the church. They didn't say all the stuff we call important about a church today. Against Jesus, your servant, they have come. He is the cornerstone of the church. Another marker is it is Holy Ghost infused. Holy Ghost infused. You'll find this thinking in the book of Acts and throughout the epistles. This church that we talk about with the identity markers, they were regenerated by the Spirit. We find in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the church that is speaking to be a church. Listen, you are not a part of the church, and there's no such thing as a gathering that calls themselves church without being regenerated by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you've got to be saved by Jesus. I don't care what you say about whether you're a church or not. If you're not saved according to the Word of God, you're not part of the church. Come on, we have a lot of people meeting this morning that are shining rainbows and everything else in their congregation and saying, oh, the love of Christ. But can I tell you, what they call church is not church. What church is those that have been born again, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, changed, hallelujah, by the Word of God. That is what church is. Identity marker, they were infused, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Now let me back up. You can be saved, make it to heaven, but being filled is the second work you can have. Being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. They were infused with the Holy Spirit. The first service they had, all 120 of them were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost moved them from the upper room into the streets. And the message of Jesus went forth. We find a message in that in itself, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were led by the Spirit, not by man. They welcomed the gifts of the Spirit in the midst of their teachings. They welcomed them. Read the book of Acts. Read the epistles. They were miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost were fluent in the church. I'm talking about identity markers of His church, His display church. The Holy Ghost was very active. I'm going to tell you, I'm not scared of the Holy Ghost moving in the midst of us. Amen. We should think the Holy Ghost needs to move in the midst of us. I have found that everything that I can do is much better if the Holy Ghost moves in me. We call that the anointing. Peter stepped out full of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost anointed him, and he preached the Word of God like he had never preached before. The Holy Spirit is that church was identity marker. They were infused. The signs and wonders were produced by the Spirit in the midst of them. How many think we need to see signs and wonders again in the country we live in? I'm all for the missions we do. I thank God we do that. But my friend, we're down to a point that we need missionaries again in America, and we need a moving of the Holy Ghost once again in the church, because if we don't have a moving of the Holy Ghost, we're just going to be like any other people meeting. We need a moving of the Spirit. It's a church that adheres to sound doctrine. Identity marker, they adhere to sound doctrine. They didn't just go teach anything they felt good. Well, you know, it just about drives me nuts when someone says, well, I feel this. I don't care what you feel if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I know that was a little tough. But when it comes to things of God, it's what the Word says, not how you feel. Your experience doesn't determine or change the Word of God. Your experience should line up with the Word of God. Amen? They adhered to those. No personal revelations that did not line up with what the doctrines of the apostles and Christ were, they didn't accept them. They stayed within those guidelines of the apostles' teachings and also the teachings of Christ and the preaching of those things. They didn't just go off on a rim and say, well, I feel God has evolved. Let me ask you something. Why would God need to evolve? He is perfect. God does not evolve, neither does his word evolve with culture. Culture gets away from his word. They were all about the discipleship program and doing what God asked them to do. Another identity marker is a church that prayed. Prayed. A church that prayed. You know, they prayed in persecuted times. They prayed for leaders. When Peter was arrested, they prayed in the temple. Peter and John were going to a prayer meeting at the temple when the cripple said, hey, would you give me some money? The silver and gold have I none, but what we have we will give unto you. They were going to a prayer meeting. The identity marker of the church is that it prays, and can I tell you that's the worst attended meeting a church can have. Okay, I'm going to go on. They prayed in the temple, they prayed daily, and had prayer meetings daily. It's a church of fellowship. They broke bread together, they had communion together, and it was a church of fellowship together. Read 1 John. It talks about the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. My fellowship with my brother James is the blood of Jesus Christ, although we like each other. Amen? One time he didn't like me, and I started, no, just kidding you. But we have fellowship in the blood of Jesus. I talked about it the other day, the brotherhood that we have, and that's in Christ Jesus. Our fellowship is him. They have fellowship. That doesn't mean we're going to like everything each other does, but we are bound by the blood of Christ. We have fellowship in him. It's a church of fellowship. It's a church that gathers. Come on. It's a church that comes together. That early church, one of the identity markers they had, they gathered in homes and they gathered at the temple. They gathered in homes and they gathered at the temple. They came because they loved Jesus. Amen? They came because they had fellowship together. But they came to have those moments of the preaching and the moments of the teaching of the doctrines of the apostles and also those of Christ. They came together. Come on, folks, we're living in a time that one of the things the enemy is really, I believe, hoodwinked the church on is that we don't gather anymore. They gathered. They gathered together. Another thing, it's a holy church. One of the identity markers, it's a holy church. Holiness. I was talking in class this morning. Could you imagine, when we think about God, could you imagine that what happened if God just had a little sin come into his presence? He would no longer be the holy God that we had. But I'm going to tell you, he's separated. Oftentimes when I pray, God, there's nobody like you. There's not a one that has the wisdom that you have, the knowledge or the power. There's nobody that can be like you. And there's nobody as holy as you, because the Bible says he is holy, therefore we should be holy. One of the identity markers of the church, it wasn't trying to blend in, but it was separate. And you say, oh, pastor, you're just preaching. Yes, I am preaching. But let me tell you one thing, is that church was not welcomed in the culture that they were in. That church was not welcomed by the Jewish community because it was anti their system. And they had to preach. But even at that time, they didn't compromise and say, well, maybe you folks are going to heaven also. It was a church that was separated. And that's why many of them ended up getting martyred. And many of them ended up getting stoned to death, is because they refuse to mingle among the other groups. A holy church. Listen, holiness doesn't mean we have to dress like a certain way. I think you ought to be modest in your dress. It talks about being separate in your heart. Amen? It's an identity marker, holiness. Look at that. It's a church that is advancing the message of Christ. Come on, that's an identity marker. You don't find the church in Acts doing this. What a great building we have. I love the chairs in the sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. If we can just keep it like this until I die. No, you find the church in the book of Acts advancing the message of Christ. Can I tell you the only way the church grows is for somebody to be saved? Come on. The only way for it to grow is for someone to be added to the kingdom of God, because that is the church. They were a church that was advancing, and some of their preaching got them killed. Come on, Paul got stoned, drug outside for dead, and I believe they prayed around him and he was resurrected, or he was brought back to life. Advancing. You don't have to be an evangelist like Doug and speak to like a million in one deal. We can speak to one person at a time. Amen? Advancing. The thing is they is an identity, a marker of the church, is they were evangelistic. They also built disciples, but they were preaching the word to those that did not know the word of God. I know we have revival speakers coming, and some of those revival speakers that come, they're labeled evangelists, and they are when they go out and preaching out on the street. But when they come here, they're just preaching revival. But I'm going to tell you, every church needs evangelists in the midst of us that are preaching the word of God. I'm sure we can add more identity markers of Jesus' displayed church, but time does not allow for me to continue on this topic right here. But I'm going to say there's some things that we can glean from this. But I think I've covered some of the core identity markers of his displayed church. Remember, his model church, of what the church should look like, even in 2026. I believe the church should have these identity markers. What has caused many of these markers to no longer be found in America's church? Remember where we started, we're having a crisis. This question could give way to many answers. Maybe complacency, no need to grow, no evangelism. Religion versus relationship. Come on, religion ain't going to get you to heaven. Amen, relationship with Jesus gets you to heaven. We were never told to be religious. We're supposed to be relational. Denying the power of God in the midst of us. That's just a prophecy come true where it says having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Talking about that latter-day church. There's a lot of reasons that we are in this identity crisis. And there may be many more that I don't have time to talk about, but I want to bring one to surface that some may disagree with me, but that's okay. I think sometimes we have this mega church mentality. A mega church mentality. Did you know in the 1970s and 80s, there was an explosion of mega churches? Now, to be a mega church, it means to be 2,000 more, or 2,000 attendants or more. This saw a significant surge in what we call mega churches. Mainline Protestant churches declined, and Christians sought alternatives that offered modern amenities, social services, engaging contemporary services. This trend kept going through the 90s. The mega church just kept growing. But can I tell you, they were not seeing new converts, but they were seeing what we call transfer growth. Transfer growth is what, when you leave a church and you go to another, and they grow and the other one shrinks. A lot of the mega churches got their growth, and I even seen it in an Amarillo paper about a church that was booming about 1,200, and the pastor himself said this, "We're not winning very many. Most of our new attenders come from another church." And we've seen this thing take off, and we've seen some churches shrinking while the mega church was getting bigger. And so this was what was taking place. And to make things worse, attendance in America's church started declining in America around the 2000s, and it's been declining every year in America in the 2000s. But all of a sudden, due to the mega church mentality, all of a sudden success for the preacher and for the congregation was determined by how many people you have in your church. The success marker wasn't how many people are being saved or are you touching people's lives, but the success marker for the churches became how many people do you have in your congregation? And it's still that way today. See, the mega church mentality caused small churches, listen to me this morning, to have an identity crisis by trying to emulate large attractional or multi-site models, leading to a small church mentality that views their size as a limitation rather than an opportunity. An identity crisis that says, I'm no longer productive for the kingdom of God. With the mentality of the mega church, we feel like we have no purpose. But yet at the same time, I'm going to tell you today, the small church has a purpose. It has a purpose, and God has a purpose for the small church. Now, I've said all of that to get to my sermon. Listen to this. To seek only to fill a chair or a pew will always lead to getting away from the very identity markers Christ established for the church. To seek only to get people in the chair or the pew will lead you astray from the identity markers that Christ has for the church. See, my desire doesn't become souls being changed, but it just becomes numbers in the house. And when it's just numbers in the house, then I'm willing to do something for the numbers that I wouldn't do otherwise. I say this morning that small churches need to embrace the identity that Christ has set for the church and not the mega church mentality. We need to embrace the identity that Christ has set for the church. So what is the mega church mentality? It's a business model. You can get a book on it, one-on-one church growth. It's all about if you got your greeters in order. It's all about if you got this and everything. It's got all these steps. A lot of times we go to the district, and we used to go to school of ministry, and everything they taught was about bigger churches. And I think, why are you teaching that when the majority of the churches in the West Texas district are smaller churches? And therefore, we would leave those places feeling like we were inadequate because the size of our church. I'm just laying it out there this morning. This is where I don't know if y'all think this is a sermon or not, or I'm just meddling, but I'm just telling you this morning a little bit about we need to change the way we see ourselves. We need to take and identify like Christ. The mega church mentality is that business model. It's all about numbers and more numbers. It's all about campuses and more campuses. And many of the mega churches are all about the pastor and who he is, how clever he is in preaching. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against those mega churches, but I'm just saying that's the mentality of the mega church. Concert, quality music, light show, digital show, and smoke in the air. I'm going to tell you, I'm not against it, but I got saved out of that stuff. Amen? I like to see if Brother James is worshiping God or not. Keep the lights on. Amen. Because I look over there and hallelujah. I'm over. Hallelujah. I want what he's getting over there. Amen. It's all right to worship God. I look back at my wife, see a tear coming down our cheek. I'm thinking, she's getting blessed. I'm just saying that's the model, though, that we feel like. I can't tell you how many churches, smaller churches, have tried to adapt what that mega church mentality and lose what they have. and the pressure of trying to be that somebody that you can't be, you all know what that leads up to. That leads to a breakdown. Amen. I gave up trying to be 6 foot tall. I finally just realized I just need to own being 5'10 and a half. Oh, well, that was a little stretching it too, wasn't it? But I'm just saying, sometimes we, as ridiculous as that seems, yeah, he was messing with me this morning, but as ridiculous as that seems, that's what it looks like for a small church trying to be a mega church. And that mentality. I have read, and I've told you this, I've got books like this, Church 101, and all the way down, and they are going in the trash. Because of what God has been revealing in my spirit and in my heart. And that's what I'm sharing with you this morning as a congregation and as a church this morning. See, a megachurch is always trying to do something better to keep the people because someone down the street is going to do something better to get their people. Amen? And their people really are easy to leave because they've left somewhere else before. It takes a lot and a lot of money to run a megachurch. And small churches cannot keep up with this, yet many are trying because it has been set as the standard of success. You're not a good preacher unless you're preaching to 1,000. You're not a good church unless you're running 1,000. We all hear it, and it's time that we face up to the fact that that is not true. Come on, I said, we all hear it, we all face up the fact that it's not true. There we go. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks, Angela, for passing that on. But that's the truth of what it is. We would call it maybe trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's for some of you younger ones that don't know what that means. That means that you're trying to, your neighbor get a new car, you try to go get a new car, a new house, whatever it may be, and you are so financially broke now that you can't even buy a burrito at Allsup's. I got the hot sauce. But that's keeping up, and that's a shame to try to live a lifestyle that you can't keep up with. It's better to be content and live within your own means. And there's a lot of churches trying to keep up with theirs. Oh, how can we get a full digital display board? Oh, they're cool, but have you priced one of those? I'm not going to stand up here and say, I feel God's telling us to get one. But I won't reject it. The thing is this, is that we're trying. And a lot of smaller churches are trying to do that. Listen, we need to go forward by embracing the identity that Christ has set for the church. The small church can be very productive for his kingdom when we will embrace these things. Amen? Very productive for his kingdom. Everything I mentioned in point one, all eight of those things and more, they are all available to San Jacinto Assembly of God this morning. Amen. I don't have to have the ushers come up and say, we're going to pass the plate and try to get some of these things. I don't have to beg you. I'm just going to tell you today, all those things that I preached about or spoke of in point one are available today. They're available because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He gave his life. Hallelujah. He told the disciples, lest I ascend, the Holy Ghost won't come down. He's up in heaven at the right-hand side of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is available today. I'm going to tell you, the price has been paid. We don't have to pass the plate. We don't have to do anything different, but go after God. Hallelujah. Because every one of those things are available to the church today. And they are what God has said I want in the church body. Let me believe with me this morning that when we are asking and seeking what God wants in the church body, that God will put those things in the church body. Amen. Hallelujah. That is where we need to be back. Everything. I would love to see things happen down here at these altars. Amen. Forget about filling the chairs. Let's just go after heaven. Amen. Just let's see what God can do. This is exactly how the awakening took place in the early 1900s. Now, I wasn't there, but I've read about it in some books. The Zuzu Street Revival started out with a black man named Seymour. Got in this old warehouse. He get up on the platform. He put his head and just prayed. And the Holy Ghost started to come down. What? Oh, not in a fancy building, but just in a place that said, hey, we want some identity of the church in the midst of us. And the Holy Ghost came down. There was miracles that took place. There were people healed. There were some that came to tear the service up that got saved. There were some that said, oh, that speaking in tongues is not right. They came to discredit them, but got filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the identity markers of the church was present. I'm saying today, God, what's the identity markers again in the church of the living God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants it again. Through that, you had revival sweep through America. Signs and wonders taking place, people being filled. It was so much so that the mainline denominations were losing people because they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the church started to look like the display model that we found in the book of Acts. God moved in amazing ways through people that were just willing. You see, it's not the size of the church that determines the success, but is the welcoming of His presence and His Word. That's what determines success. And we need to get away from the mindset that has set the standard that is according to man and not according to this. Amen? To have those markers. I don't know about you, but I want to be identified as His church. Amen? I want people to say, that's His church over there because of what's going on in it. We need to embrace that. We need to understand it. Somewhere along the line, we forgot about that. Amen? Can I have the praise team come back just for a few moments? And I want to sing that last song that we were singing, the whole praise team, if you're here. You know, there was once a man who lived by the side of a road and sold hot dogs. He was hard of hearing and he had no radio. He had trouble with his eyes, so he read no newspapers, but his business was very successful. He had a son he sent off to college and came back. Dad, don't you know we're fixing to have a recession? His dad had advertised on street corners and all this, and the hot dog deal was doing great. Even when his son came back, and dad, he listened to his boy because he was supposed to be educated. He came from college. So he started to cut back one stand and another stand and quit advertising because, after all, it was a recession. And his business truly went down the hill. Before long, he didn't even have a hot dog stand. And the reason being is because he listened to somebody else and adjusted everything to that mindset of thinking. The moral is that if he would have just kept on doing what he was doing, he would have been successful. And I believe today in the church world that we've listened to the standard that's not the standard of God. I believe we've put things to success that really don't add up to success. I believe success is what the Word of God says. And I don't know about you, San Jacinto, this heart, this has been burning in my heart. I even said yesterday as I was trying to finish it, God, I don't know how to finish that last part of this message, but I know what God's putting on my heart. And that is, we need to have those identity markers in this church. Amen? We need them so much in the church today. We need them. Stand with me this morning. And I believe it all starts back to this name that's above every name. The name of Jesus, because that's why we're here this morning. We meet because we have fellowship with Him. And so I want us just to do this, but I want you, listen, I'm going to talk a little more about this in the board the business meeting tonight. But I want you as a church member, and you that are watching online, perhaps you weren't able to make it, I want us just to start seeking God. And I tell you, when I start to seek God, those identity markers start to come into our lives. The more you seek Him, the Bible says, you know, draw near unto Him, and He will draw near unto you. And then it says, repent, you double-minded. Oh, we don't quote that part, because see, that don't build business. But what it says, get things out of your life. So the first thing that we need to do as a church is we need to get our focus back up on Him. Forget all the problems that we've had. Forget all the attacks from the devil. Forget all the issues. And we need to start going after Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on. We need to go after Him because it's He that identifies us. And our crisis will be gone when we start to identify with the identity that God has given us.